He'd bought the book in a store he'd passed in San Francisco using the Visa card his parents had gotten him. He'd also bought 6 blades for his saw, more sandpaper, and a San Francisco map, and had used the card to get more cash. He'd planned on building the whirligig there, but after a day of freezing in the fog and a night in a cheap hotel, unable to sleep for all the shouting and footsteps, he'd climbed back onto the bus that morning, heading south to San Diego. This would put the whirligig closer to the corner of the country and would put him in a warmer climate. He'd brought nothing long-sleeved. He hadn't mentioned this oversight or any others when he'd called his parents from the bus station in Los Angeles. They were dubious enough about the trip as it was. Just as in the first call he'd made, they'd barraged him with questions, reminders, and cautions. He'd half-listened, curiously fingering his blonde hair. He'd forgotten to bring shampoo and had washed it with soap, leaving it stiff as cardboard.
Okay, we're back with Brent. What do you think it means when the narrator says Brent's parents were dubious enough about the trip as it was? Well, I remember that his parents thought the trip was a pretty crazy idea. They doubted that Brent would be able to travel on his own and build whirligigs without skills. And that's what dubious means. To be doubtful about something, or to think that something is probably not going to turn out successfully. That would explain why Brent doesn't tell them about the cold. I think he doesn't want to hear any more of their doubts. So anyway, Brent's in California now, and it sounds like he plans to put up his second whirligig in San Diego. The order of events in this story is pretty unusual. We just read about Flacco and the Florida whirligig, but we still haven't gotten to the chapter where Brent makes that whirligig. Don't let the stories about the people who see the whirligigs confuse you. I think the author, Paul Fleischman, put those chapters in random order so that readers would see how the whirligigs affect people's lives at different times. Let's go on to the paragraph near the bottom of page 64 that starts, "Setting out by eye."
Setting out by eye from Deneb, he found Vega, then Altair. He hadn't realized before that individual stars had names. The book called these three the Summer Triangle. He stared at Vega, the brightest bluish-white, and felt it stare back at him. They held the gaze like tango dancers while the woman behind him snored obliviously. The trio of stars shone for him alone. By now, he was accustomed to feeling separate from the other passengers. For them, the bus was an interlude. For him, it was home.